Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Well, I'm walking home at 7 a.m. One last Reno, last call. Been raising hell with all of my rowdy friends and snorting coke in a bathroom stall. Lord, we had a ball and this song goes out to the scumbags. Just like every song I'd sing, it's just a song about this hard life we lead, Lord, outlaws and scumbags like me. Never make it down in Nashville, Tennessee. Cause they don't like my scumbag songs. Getting rich would be the last thing I'd ever need, man. These drugs are all I'd spend it on. I'd be dead before too long, and this song goes out to the scumbags. Just like
Trash Revival. This is episode 44, and I'm your host, Donnie fucking Cash. How do, friends? How do? We started off this show with a little Hellbound Glory with the Ballad of Scumbag Country. And boy, do I have a great fucking show lined up today. We have an interview with none other than Leroy Virgil from Hellbound Glory. Fuck yes! So, I believe we're going to make this our scumbag episode. So this episode right here will go out to all you people that are scumbags like myself. You know, all you motherfuckers that fuck on the first date. All you bitches that give head to one night stands. All you dudes that eat that stuff, you know. Eat that pussy. One night stands. Ain't nothing more scumbag than that. And I must say, I'm a scumbag. I've done that many times. Yes, Lord. You know, all you people that'll fuck a relative's wife or husband, that's scumbag. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get this bitch on the road!
I hope that the friend you've thrown yourself with, he gets drunk and loses his job. And every road that you travel on is dusty, rocky, and hard. I couldn't make you love me, you only made me blue. So all in all, if the curtain should fall, Lord, I hope that it falls on you. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. The train from Caribou, Maine runs over your new love affair. You walk the floor from door to door and pull out your four oxide hair. You never was my woman, 'cause you were never true. So all in all, if the curtain should fall, I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. I will have sweet, sweet,
sweet. Your hands off him. What? You heard me? That's my son, motherfucker.
What's this little guy right here?
It's my motherfucking Steve right here. See, I got him on my motherfucking chest.
We'll be right back.
don't want another one of your sullen whores using my medicine cabinet like a Pez dispenser.
When Johnny showed up late for work and called his boss a fucking jerk, his boss could smell the whiskey on his breath. His walking papers he received. Johnny, he felt so relieved that night he went and beat a man to death. He left the dead man behind the bar, took his wallet, took his car, drove downtown and bought himself a gun. He stopped for gas and cigarettes, a case of beer, some Raisinets. Then he shot the cashier just for fun. He's a cold-blooded killer, he ain't like you and me. He'll cut down anything that's in his path. When he comes into your town, you'd better keep out of his way. He's got nothing left to lose except his past. Well, from Illinois to Council Bluffs, Johnny could not get enough. 15 more had eaten their last meal. He traveled west from Omaha, crossed the time zone, and he saw that gave him 60 minutes more to kill. He's a cold-blooded killer, he ain't like you and me. He'll cut down anything that's in his path. When he comes into your town, you'd better keep out of his way. He's got nothing left to lose except his past. Population shrank when Johnny robbed a couple banks, shot down every witness that he saw. In Pocatello, Idaho, a sheriff dropped his radio, put a bullet right through Johnny's jaw. Yeah, he's a cold-blooded killer, he ain't like you and me. He'll cut down anything that's in his path. When he comes into your town, you'd better keep out of his way. He's got nothing left to lose except his past.
Yes, friends, and starting off this set was Waylon Jennings with Sweet Mental Revenge. And following that was a group out of Meigs County, Ohio, but they do not exist anymore. And they're called Swamp Juice with God to All. And ending this set was Bob Wire with Cold-Blooded Killer. Sweet fucking song. And it's off his CD, American Pie Hole. I hope you liked it, because I liked it myself. So, fuck. One time I went to Tijuana, Mexico with my uncle Johnny. I was about 17. And, went there for spring break, and he wanted to take me down there and get me laid. And, you know, I was a virgin at the time, I think, and I was ecstatic. So we went down there, went to this old fucking brothel down this fucking alley, and he picked this really good-looking señorita and left me with this fucking... Oh, fuck, I don't know what she was, but she wasn't very pretty. She kind of looked like the sea hag on Popeye. Remember the sea hag? Anyway, I was a virgin. I didn't give a fuck. One of the bodyguards there said that she was the best there, but no one ever wanted to mess with her. So I said, I went ahead and did it. So we get back to the little hut, whatever you want to call it. And she was like,
Senor, I'll give you around the world.
And, you know, I wasn't experienced with anything. She told me that it would rock my world and it was the greatest thing ever. So, since she was the expert, I said, go ahead and do it. Now, what the round the world consists of, and I was freaked out at first, but she pulled out a silk scarf. Honestly, it looked like a fucking silk beach towel. And it was the finest of silk. And she tied that thing in 50 knots, like little, like balls on a string or something. But it was in 50 knots, and each knot was the size of an Indian head nickel. So she stuffed that fucking silk scarf up my asshole, and it freaked me out. And, you know, all them little 50 knots are all up my asshole. And she started blowing me, and she didn't have teeth, so it was feeling quite exquisite. And so she blew me for a little bit, and then she starts fucking riding me, and you know, I'm in fucking heaven. You know, the sight wasn't all that great, and you know, she was older and had a big old hairy pussy, and but I'm a virgin, I don't care. So my toes start curling. I think I'm going to come. So she jumps off me and starts blowing me. I'm like, oh, she's going to finish me. So I'm getting ready to shoot my load, right? And then right as it starts to come out, she yanks that fucking silk scarf out of my asshole. And let me tell you this. Each one of those silk knots hit my fucking prostate on the way out, and it kind of made a sound of brrr, and I shot the biggest fucking load. It came out, I swear to you, like a fucking geyser. And I don't think I've ever pissed that long, you know, as long as that nut was. It was longer than a good morning piss. And after that happened, I tried to stand up. And when I did, I shit myself and collapsed. And I was in a vegetative state for approximately 2 weeks. My uncle brought me back across the border. I was incoherent and unresponsive, and, you know, I was in a coma. I'd never busted a nut like that before in my life. And when I turned 18, I went back down there to try to marry that woman, but she was in a Mexican prison. But I, like I said, I was in a vegetative state for 2 weeks in a coma, and I came out of it with a smile on my face, and, you know, it seemed like I just blinked. That's what it seemed like. I woke up like, wow. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Let's get in this next set.
Stolen whiskey and drink cocaine. Yeah.
right, motherfuckers, we started off this set with Alan King and the beer-drinking Christians with snorting whiskey. That's something I do not suggest doing. I've tried it before, and it burns. It burns like a motherfucker. It burns worse than trying to get rid of crabs with kerosene, okay? Following that was Blood on the Saddle with a song that I hold very dear because it's one of my favorite drinks. And that song was called Colt 45. You know, just because you drink malt liquor don't mean you're my fucking... You're gonna like rap music. And ending the set was the Blue Boot Healers with Video Queen. And the Blue Boot Healers were out of Kansas City. Isn't that in the Show Me State? I'll show you something. I'll show all y'all something. Just don't point and laugh. I got a low self-esteem. All right, we're going to get in another song here, and then after that, we're going to get in the interview with Leroy Virgil. So this song we're going to do now is by Chuck Wagon and the Wheels, and I tell this to my wife all the time, and the name of the song is How Can I Love You If You Won't Lay Down? I always tell her that. I also say, bitch, that pussy ain't going to eat itself. Alright, friends, with me on the phone is Leroy Virgil from Hellbound Glory. How's it going, Leroy?
Oh, not bad. Just walking around, sitting in front of a buddy of mine's house, waiting for him to get off work so he can start making some beer.
So, you guys have gotten pretty fucking big. How long have you guys been together, Hellbound Glory?
Well, first of all, I haven't noticed us getting all that big yet, but... We've been together about 4 years, chucking away at it.
It seems like everybody in this underground country scene, I mean, your name's the first one brought up, Hellbound Glory. I mean, you see,
really?
You got a nice following.
That's good news, man. I'm glad to hear that.
So, tell me how Scumbag Country came about.
Well, I don't know. It came pretty naturally, but a buddy of mine kind of put it together. He basically, after a night, I don't know, have you heard of Johnny Dips?
I have.
A lot of country over in California.
Yeah, I got
good buddy of mine.
Really?
We were playing at a little club on the right on the coast in Northern California. We stayed up all night, you know, like I was talking with you earlier, just playing guitars, singing songs, and drinking booze. And the next day, we played another gig the next night, and he says, you know what, Lula, you're just a fucking scumbag. Well, you know what, that has a cool ring to it. You know, I am a scumbag. So I just thought, you know, hey, Scumbag Country. It kind of sounds like a cool, you know, cool way to, you know, call our music, set us apart or whatever. So that's how that kind of came about.
You know, that CD, Scumbag Country, is a great fucking CD. It's one of my favorite. And your new one is just as good, if not better.
Well, I'm glad you're digging on the new one, man. It's a pretty personal record for me. Some of those songs are 10 years old.
Really?
Called it Old Highs and New Lows, just because a few of the songs, like Hard Living Man, I wrote when I was 19 years old, about living with a roommate back in Aberdeen, Washington, and just kind of getting into some trouble with crystal meth and just raising hell and doing all that sort of shit. So I just kind of wanted to put together all my best songs about drugs and drinking and put them all together, some old ones, some new ones, and just kind of mix them up. That's why we called it Old Highs and New Lows.
Well, that's fucking amazing that 19-year-old kid could write a song that fucking good. I mean, you got some immense talent.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it that, but thank you for saying that. You know, most of the songs, just about every part has either happened to me or has happened to somebody that I've known or, you know, situations. So it's basically I'm just sort of dude who likes to travel around, hang out with people and tell stories and, you know, write songs about real shit that happens. And so that's where most of it comes from. You hear what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, you guys are out of Nevada, right?
Yes, sir.
And how is...
Battleborn State.
How's the country music scene out there?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Here in Reno, we got a few bands. There's a band you might want to dig on is a guy called the Saddle Tramps.
Yeah, they're kind of rockabilly, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a little more rockabilly.
Right.
Mostly it's a rockabilly scene out here in Reno. And we're kind of like the lone scumbag country band, really. But, you know, seems like there's some more people picking up, wanting to do some stuff that's a little bit more country influence rather than rockabilly. I've never been all that big a fan of rockabilly, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. So have you always been a fan of country? Is that where you got your start in music?
You know, it's always been there. But, you know, as a kid, I went through the phase of listening to fucking Pantera, Metallica, and fucking hard rock and heavy metal. But, you know, country's always been big in my life. My folks all listen to a lot of country. You know, the first concert I ever seen was Hank Williams Jr. and Travis Tritt, Charlie Daniels, all on the same bill. I've seen fucking Garth Brooks, George Strait. I've seen, you know, all the other, Willie Nelson. Never saw Waylon, though. I've been going to see these concerts since I was a youngster. See, that's always been a pretty big part of who I was.
Well, that's cool. All right, well, tell me how you and the boys from Hellbound Glory got together.
Well, I just been kicked out of a rockabilly band because I had a rockabilly band going here in Reno probably about 5 years ago, and they all kicked me out because I wouldn't cut my hair and I wouldn't fucking be rockabilly or whatever. I was more into singing country, so I just just started, you know, searching around and started doing a thing called Honky Tonk Night at this little bar in Reno. And it was, it started off with just me and an acoustic guitar singing country songs. Then I knew another guy who would play some country songs on a turntable. And I hooked up with a pedal steel guitar player who was playing our band for quite a while, but is no longer with the group. And then he played, him and I started playing, and then slowly he brought over Chico, who still plays drums in the band. And we had, who the fuck played bass back then? Oh yeah, we had a kid who played stand-up bass named Richard. And so, he was in the, we had that lineup going for about 6-7 months, and then Richard left, and we brought in another bass player, and then we had a few guitar players, a few pedal steel players. I'll play with anybody, man.
Fuck yeah.
So basically, yeah, the band, the two, only two original members of the band are me and the drummer, Chico. But, you know, we still, you know, bring in other guys from other bands to play pedal steel, or, you know, if, you know, sometimes we'll call up someone and they'll come out and play fiddle, or it's one big happy family, basically.
That's what it's all about, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, how about we get in a song right quick?
All right.
What song would you like me to play?
I don't know. By who?
By you.
Me? Oh, shit. I don't know. Somebody, I guess the song, Never Been to My Break Me, I thought was a pretty good one off the new album.
Okay.
I don't know. What about, that's probably my favorite song on the new album. Either that or Slow Suicide.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, brother.
Well, I've been out on a bender since I can't remember, and lately it's starting to show. Well, the lines on my face is showing my age, and my mind's beginning to go. Yeah, I quit right now, some way, somehow, leaves the damage I've done. But I was on to my face, it's far too late. Stop a bender, once it's begun. Another bender might break me, and it might take me down. That chance I'm taking, and I'll take one more round. So get out the grave. Death's door. Yet I woke up the next morning and didn't need the warnings. Went off on a bender once more. Between the pills and the whiskey, it's getting a little risky. One day I'm gonna wind up dead. Chance I'm taking.
right, Leroy, tell me how you came up with that song.
Wait, another band might break me?
Yeah.
I was sitting on the couch one day, and I was actually working on another song. It's a lot of shit. I had a buddy, it's actually kind of about a friend of mine, who fucking died. It's a hard story to tell, but I had a buddy basically, you know, just like the lyrics say, you know, we're all out partying, all doing the same shit, taking pills and drinking, and all this shit we know full well. Hey, my buddy just showed up. Brad. Doing all this shit we know full well might end up killing us if we, you know, take one too many, and he just happened to not wake up one morning. So it's kind of a tribute to him, and I just had that line, another bender might break me, and it's just kind of, I don't know, that song took like 20 minutes to write. It just flowed out. Once I said another bender might break me, and I knew what I was writing about, it just kind of happened. Hey, what's going on, Brad?
Yeah, I had my fair share of partying and not wanting to do it, but still doing it, and I can totally relate to that song. I'm sure most of the listeners can, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad one for me, but I understand a lot of people, you know, like to listen to it and get ready to party. But it's not as sad. It's more just like a tribute, I guess.
Right. You know, most of the guys that are big in country say you have to live the lifestyle, you know, to write a good song, and, you know, your songs are good. So, I mean, there it is. You lived the songs that you write about.
Yeah, a little more than I'd like to.
Yeah.
The truth. But, yeah, it's a battle. You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, you got to keep fucking pushing yourself lower and lower into the gutter just to get more material. You know, that's in the back of your mind at all times when you're writing songs. Or, I don't know. It's just something, yeah. I've been writing songs since about doing drugs since I was a kid, basically. Since I first started doing drugs. Since I was fucking, you know, 15 years old, smoking crank from light bulbs. Started writing songs about it. I've been pretty much been a lifelong user. Trying to quit, though. That's honest.
So what's your drug of choice these days?
I don't know. All of them. The only time I ever said no is when someone asked if I had enough. I just started smoking pot about 7 months ago. I never smoked pot. It wasn't self-destructive enough for me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, you know, so I've been smoking a lot of pot. I think it's making me a little bit more, I don't know. I've never really been addicted to drugs. I've just been addicted to being self-destructive my whole life.
I hear that. So, tell me about Gearhead Records. How'd you hook up with them and what them folks over there are all about?
I don't want to talk about it too much, but just because there's some stuff going on with that. But basically, I knew there was a label out of California, and I sent them a copy of the first demo we put out. The lady who ran the label said she liked it, and she said she wanted to hear new material. And so I just said, fuck it, you know what, I'm just going to drive over to their office. I just drove over there, you know, it took 3 hours, had my guitar, walked in their office with a guitar, and started singing all my new songs. And all those songs were on Scumbag Country.
Right. There's
I do it again. Shit, if there's any label that wants to hear some new tunes, I'll walk in there with an acoustic guitar.
Well, there's a new label on the rise right now called Farmageddon Records. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, that's Darren, right?
Yep.
Hey, he's a good old boy. We partied pretty hard last time I was over in Bozeman. Yeah, I like Darren.
Now, I've noticed that you're going to be sharing the stage with a couple pretty well-known acts. I believe Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah, that's this Sunday.
And then Nashville Pussy.
Yeah, that's a few days. I think that's next Tuesday or something.
And then you got Lucky Tub after that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend. Hopefully we'll get to do some picking and grinning.
Fucking sounds like it's going to be a phenomenal week.
Hey, y'all fly out here, man.
Hey, I'd like to. But
yeah, if you could crash on my couch.
That'd be fucking
sweet.
Well,
you shouldn't be bringing stragglers back.
Having a dirty motherfucker from Ohio.
Yeah, it'd be good times. Yeah, hey, man, if you ever make it out to Reno, you make sure to give me a call.
Oh, I plan on coming to Vegas here soon. I like to play poker. And, you know, Vegas ain't that far from Reno, is it?
Dude, it's 8 hours.
Oh, well, fuck. If I'm out that way, I might as well come to Reno.
Vegas is like McDonald's with gambling.
Really?
Reno is like a honky-tonk with gambling.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, Vegas is all, you know, people who are into clubbing and shit.
So Vegas is like the pop country scene, and Reno is the real scene.
You know all my songs?
Yeah.
That's fucking Reno.
Fuck.
That is Reno. That's why we put pictures, you know, Reno shit on both of our albums.
So, how'd you end up hooking up with these bands, Drive-By Truckers, Nashville Pussy, and all them?
Well, you know, just fucking been doing it long enough to where there was some promoters. You know, there's a casino up near Lake Tahoe that basically pays my rent. And the guy's been digging our music since, you know, he set up one of our first shows we ever played. And he pays well, and he brings through good acts. You know, anytime he brings through a country band, he calls me up and says, hey, come on out. Pay you good, feed you. He's had us open up for, like, Junior Brown, Legendary Shack Shakers. Who else have we opened up for? There's Shelby Lynn. What other bands has Brent booked us with? Obviously, the Drive-By Truckers is going to be coming up. Some other bands, I can't remember right now.
I think that's great.
Yeah, he just likes our music. Looks just,
you know, Drive-By Truckers is probably the biggest, and I hope that opens some people up to what a great band you guys are.
You know, that'd be nice, man. It'd be nice to be able to get out there on the road, because I'll be honest with you, we hit up some of these towns, and there's five people, you know, there. And, you know, mostly when we get out of Reno, or when we get out to, you know, Colorado, and we do good in Utah, though. They seem to like us out there, but, yeah, you know, it'd be nice to get a few more people out to the shows. We're always trying to put on a good show. Always try to shake hands with everybody and thank them for coming out. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get some more people out.
Yeah, and you know, it's probably hard because you don't really get no mainstream radio play. But, you know, you got little guys like me and Joshy P and Chris over at Blue Ribbon Radio. You know, we play the fuck out of you guys, and hopefully we get listeners and spread the word and, you know, get you guys more known.
You know, it's not all about getting well known. Basically, I just want to be able to sing some fucking songs for people and be able to eat decently, you know. That macaroni and cheese is fine with me. I don't want to be on any sort of mainstream radio,
because right.
That shit today sucks. You know, every once in a while I listen to a lot of mainstream radio just because I drive a lot. And, you know, there's some songs I like. Some of them have, like, a decent groove to them, or they'll have a decent hook to them. And, you know, I still love Alan Jackson and George Strait and Dwight Yoakam, but there's obviously something wrong with country radio because it does not, it just,
There ain't no fucking twang in it, it's what it is.
Yeah, it sounds like 80s metal.
Yeah.
Not 80s metal, but 80s, you know, glam rock.
You got very little fiddle. You got no fucking steel guitar. Banjos ain't in it.
Yeah. Well, if there is a banjo, it's just like a token banjo over some rock riff.
Yeah.
I don't like to get into the whole thing where I talk too much shit about the mainstream, because it's always going to be like that. But it's just not so much.
right, Leroy, how about we get another song here?
All right.
Would you like to play one off the old album or another one off the new one?
I don't know. I'd rather you play a Johnny Paycheck song to tell you.
Johnny Paycheck? All right. What would you like to play by him?
All right. What do you got? My favorite shit is like, is off 11 months and 29 days or slide off your satin sheets. You know, Only Hell Mom Ever Raised is one of my favorite songs ever.
I believe I got every song he's made, so.
Fucking bitching. You listen to that. That's like my Bible.
You want to do Only Hell My Mama Ever Raised?
Yeah, and if I had a guitar right here, I'd sing a song into the phone, but.
All right, let's go ahead and do this.
I can't sell my mama short on loving me. I guess that's why she let me go so far. Mama tried to stop me short of stealing. I guess that's why I had to steal that car. She told me not to smoke it, but I did, and it took me far away. And I turned out to be the only hell my mama ever raised. Well, I rolled into Atlanta, stolen tags and almost out of gas. Some money. Lately I'd learned how to get it fast. Those neon lights was calling me, and somehow I just had to get downtown. So I reached into the glove box. Another liquor store went down. And I said, precious memories, take me back to the good old days. Let me hear my mama singing. The Rock of Ages clapped for me. She tried to turn me on to Jesus, but I turned on to the devil's ways. And I turned out to be the only hell my mama ever raised. On me, Lord, how I fought to resist. But the agents clamped them tighter till that metal bit into my wrists. They took my belt and my billfold, my fingerprints and the profile of my face. And then they locked away the only hell my mama ever raised. Precious memories, take me back to the good old days. Let me hear my mama sing. Rock of Ages clapped for me. She tried to turn me on to Jesus, but I turned on to the devil's ways. And I turned out to be the only hell my mama ever raised.
Leroy, tell me why you're such a fan of Mr. Paycheck.
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. It's just something in his voice that just grabs me. Like when I like his ballads just as much as I like his Hellraising shit. To tell you the truth, that's what I'm probably going to listen to as soon as I get off the phone with you. I'm going to crack one open, crack another one open, go downstairs in my buddy's basement, smoke a joint, and listen to some Johnny Paycheck. I don't know. I just think his voice is killer. When he lays into just like that soulful, you know, when he starts moaning it.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking grabs me.
So,
I don't know. He's like a kindred soul, I feel like, just listening to his music. I can't listen to music if I don't feel like I'd like the person who's singing it. That's why I'm not really big on Old Crow Medicine Show, because I just don't think I'd like hanging out with those guys. I like some of their songs, but I'm not a fan.
Right, right.
Not to talk shit, but I like music where I feel like, hey, These guys like me. I don't feel like those guys are like me.
Exactly. And,
where... Even some good songs. It could even be, you know, like a good song. And, I like it's a good song. But, yeah, it just doesn't grab me. It has to be, I have to be able to feel that sort of spirit, like, you know, like Hank. When Hank sings, or when Hank Jr. sings, or when Hank the Third sings, and I feel like, boy, if those guys are sitting in the room right now with me and we're drinking beer, I'd probably get along with them all right.
Exactly. Like, Country Boy Can Survive's like one of the greatest fucking songs. It always gets me pumped up and excited.
Fuck yeah. Hank Jr. is basically the patron saint of fucking where I'm from, man.
Yeah.
It's all about cruising logging roads and blasting Hank Jr. Like, Country Boy Can Survive, I sing that song at just about every show we play.
So, where do you want to be in the next 5 years?
5 years?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought I'd be dead by the time I hit, 32. So, I'm 28 right now, maybe 29, June 22nd. In 5 years, shit, I reckon probably have a kid by then with the wife, but I'll still be traveling around playing music, hopefully be able to make enough to keep paying rent and put some mac and cheese on the table. You know, and I don't really have any career aspirations to be a star or be well known. I just like singing songs. You know what I mean? In fact, I don't really like the whole part of having to. It's hard to explain, but I just like being able to fucking sing songs for people. I feel if people hear my songs, then they know me. And if you like my songs, then you probably like me.
Exactly.
I don't want to be a star at all. It's kind of a convoluted answer, but, yeah.
You know,
I don't see myself, being like Tim McGraw or Jason Aldean.
Right, right. And that's what I like. I like someone that just wants to do it because they like doing it. They don't care about fame and fortune, and, I think it's fucking awesome.
Well, that's the whole thing is, motherfuckers who are in it for fame and fortune aren't in it for music. You know, I had a ex-wife who wanted to become sing country music, and she didn't even fucking like it. She just wanted to be famous. It's like, well, what? Why would you want to be famous if you're famous for doing something that, isn't you?
That's,
I don't know.
That's probably most of the motherfuckers down there in Nashville and on CMT, they probably don't even really want to sing the shit, but they do. You know, half
of them,
they ain't even writing their own songs. Half of them aren't.
No, they're fucking pussies. How's it going, bud? A buddy of mine opened for... Yeah, have you heard of Jake Owen?
Jake Owens?
Jake Owens. He's like a, fucking modern kind of guy. He's had a couple of minor radio hits. He's like a couple... shit you hear on modern country radio. A buddy of mine opened for him a few weeks ago. And I guess he was a decent guy. Talked to you on a personal level. Wasn't like an asshole exactly, but... My buddy showed up for a sound check. He was opening. And they were singing like fucking, they were listening to rap music. It's like, and they were like, jamming on rap music. And he said, he wasn't really country at all. He seemed more like a surfer dude, skater surfer dude who, was just kind of doing this shit for, I don't know, they're just kind of making him a country singer. He was just more into singing Vanilla Ice. I guess he actually did a cover of Vanilla Ice. How fucking country is that?
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
You'll never hear me do any rap. I've hated rap since I was a little fucking kid.
Yeah, I'm not a...
We always just call it Jungle Jack where I grew up, but...
I'm not a big fan of it myself.
Yeah, so, I don't mean to sound like I'm putting it down. I understand that it's a form of, art for that culture or whatever, but it's just not my thing. It's not who I am. It's not where I'm from.
Right, right.
Have you noticed you put all these fucking It's even worse in small towns, man. You get, like, these small town guys who want to pretend like they're Eminem. It's like, hey, bud, you live in a town with a population of, you know, 500 people, and you're talking like you're from South Central?
Yeah.
Be yourself, dumbass.
Yeah, white boys that wear do-rags just, oh, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, you know, that's one good thing about this whole, what you're talking about, is this underground country culture. So all of a sudden, you know what? We've got our own fucking culture. We got our own thing. Let's be proud of it. Nothing wrong with saying I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Have you heard that song by Merle Haggard?
Yep, I sure have.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on our next record. I changed up the lyrics, though, a little bit.
Changed
more fitting of my life.
So,
want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, do it.
Here, check it out. I'll sing it for you. Here's my version of White Boy. Let me catch my breath. I've been wandering around. All right, give me a second. All right, here he goes. When I saw folks call me Rambling Man, I threw a lot of thumbing in a kicking can, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. Cause I was born poor, white trash, in a little part of town they call Felony Flats. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I could go on, but yeah, that's, I'm changing up the lyrics. Gonna make it a little bit different than the Haggard version. Although I love the Haggard version,
it's fucking awesome.
Do something that's a little bit more my own.
So, when can we expect another album out from you guys?
Shit. As soon as we fucking make enough money to pay for a recording.
Okay.
And I fucking promise you there'll be one in the mail straight to you, bud.
Fuck yeah. So who's some of the people you'd like to share a stage with in the future?
You know, I'm a big fan of Hank the Third. I think he's got the best sound going right now. He doesn't sound like no one else. He doesn't, you know, it's like it sounds old school, but it doesn't, yeah, he's completely original. I'd love to share a stage with him. But, you know, all these guys, I love 357 String Band. Those boys came and stayed over at my house one night, and we had a good time, stayed up till 5, 6 in the morning picking the guitars. I'd like to share the stage with them again. Let's see. You know, I'd like to share the stage with fucking Tim McGraw and show him how it's really fucking done.
Hell yeah. That'd be fucking sweet.
Hey, my phone's about to die, bud.
All right, well.
I got beeping noise.
I was about done anyways, brother. I'm going to pick a song out to play, and it's going to be My Crutch, because I really dig that song.
That's a true story, man. That's an absolutely true story. That girl probably saved my life.
Really?
I didn't even know her name. I still don't know her name. I just woke up with the lyrics, Be My Crutch, Should I Fall, written down on a napkin in my pocket one morning. And I just thought, you know what, that's a song. It was what I was thinking when I wrote it down, but, yeah. Some woman, yeah, that's one of my most favorite songs I've ever written. So yeah. I thank you for playing it.
And a great song. All right, well, since your phone's getting ready to die, I'll go ahead and cut it short, and I just want to thank you for being on my show. It means a lot. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? It means a lot that you had me on the show, and I appreciate you fucking showing interest in the songs I write and the music we record. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. And I'll shoot you a message on MySpace or something when I'm getting ready to put this up, and it'll be posted.
Yeah, I'm sure to check that thing at least, you know, once or twice a week, so I'll stay in touch.
All right.
Hi, brother. I got to hit the road.
All right, take care.
That's all.
All right, bye.
I stepped down from the bar stool and hit the ground. It's hard to walk in this old. Be my crutch, should I fall? Yeah.
think I've made a terrible mistake. I'm wearing my underwear on the outside.
Yes, that was Driving Nails with Shout 'Em Down. Here's the next set, motherfuckers.
Well, I come from you this and they call you that, but then they call you a fool. They judge for this and they judge for that, and I'm ahead of the fucking fool. Why can't they just leave me alone now? What the hell did I do so?
Ain't got no time. And this set right here is going to be our scumbag set, because all three songs and groups that I've played on this set are a bunch of fucking scumbags. And we start off this set with Black Eyed Vermilion with a song called Hate and Whiskey. That is a great fucking song, probably one of my favorite songs of all time. And that's Gary Lindsay's band, you know, the front man for Ass Jack. Following that was Earl Maggard off of the label Pine of Happiness record label, and that was a song Dead and Gone. Just so you're all aware, Earl Maggard is not a darling. And ending the set was little G.G. Allin with the song called No Rights. Can't go wrong with G.G. And he pretty much found the term scumbag, didn't he? He was a fucking scumbag. Old Jesus Allin. Let's get in this last set.
Sometimes you hear the guy calling help now?
All right, we'll be there. Thanks.
bloodshot eyes is the way it'll always be. Don't see no kind of point in changing now. Say my days are wasted. I say there's plenty more. Say that that's my problem. Yesterday I find the way I'm living isn't doing just fine for me. Fuck you if you don't like that, 'cause I like to smoke my weed and drink my wine, and you don't think I'm doing fine. Well, you could be wrong about that. Say my days are wasted. I say there's plenty more. That's my problem. I tell you to find the door, and I'm just drinking back yesterday. I'm just drinking back yesterday. No, 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 no. I'm just drinking back yesterday. And I'm just drinking back.
right, folks, and finishing out this set right here, or should I say starting off this last set, was Ghost Rider with a song called Circus. Thank you, Mr. Ghost Rider, for sending me a CD and some vinyl. I appreciate it. And following that was Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre with Drink Back Yesterday. You can drink it back all you want, but you'll never get it back, right or wrong. And ending the set was Jason and the Punknecks with Too Far Gone. Now, Jason and the Punknecks came up my way a couple weeks ago at the Southgate House. They were playing the same night as Unknown Henson, and I did not get to make it, which I was extremely upset. And I put all of you in a 30-second fuck you for not meeting me there. So, yeah, that's how I felt since y'all treated a kind host like that. So let's, fuck, before we get in this last song, before we end the show here, something was brought to my attention by Mr. Joey Alcorn. You know, he's a good country music singer, and it was a Hank Williams newsletter by the Reinstate Hank folks. And it says here, attention Hank, country music fans. Our friends in Germany have sent me some websites of interest. The first item is about the 10 saddest songs in country music. And they give the website address, www.theboot.com. I guess some folks would disagree with some of the 10 songs selected. I suppose it is a subject matter. It depends on who is selecting the songs and for what period of time and other factors. And in parentheses it has, and even the age of the persons selecting the songs may be a factor. But in any case, I was glad Hank had at least one song there. The second item comes with a warning/caution, and here in parentheses it says, as it contains at least some R-rated material, into parentheses, please don't call this one up if lyrics with foul language would offend you, but if interested, go to www.section86.com. This is even tagged as the White Trash Revival number 42. In parentheses, a possibly offensive title to some of you. It is a radio show about Hank, and its running time is approximately 100 minutes. I hesitated to send this information to you, but the show does contain some interesting and extraordinary tribute and cover song material, much of which I had never heard before. The host is Jimmy F. Cash, who apparently has some reputation for the obscene. And it's signed Robert Ackerman Palmer out of Alaska. And, you know, that shit tickled me pink, although my name's not Jimmy. It's Donnie fucking Cash. But, it, you know, it means a lot to me to have people recognize me and promote my shit. And when I did do the Homage for Hank show, I was very clean and very respectable, you know, paying tribute to the icon. But that's going to be about it for my show. I want to thank Leroy Virgil for doing an interview. It means a lot to me because Leroy Virgil and the group Hellbound Glory is, you know, one of my favorite artists, and it's fucking great when you could interview one of your favorites. But I think that's going to be it for my show. I'm going to continue to drink the rest of these Mickey's Big Mouths. You know, it's fine malt liquor. But I myself, I like that gutter malt liquor at Colt 45. So, we're going to end this show with little Johnny Dilks with a song called Mama, I'm Coming Home. Enjoy. Oh, and find me on Facebook, friends. I sure would like to have you.
I slowly dropped to the ground, slinking between his knees. I first rubbed my hands up his shirt and over his chest and abs, gently scratching and teasing. I drew my fingers back and forth over his stomach right at the waistband of his pants, teasing him unmercifully as his cock is throbbing beneath his pants waiting to emerge. I kiss and lick gently up and down his stomach and chest while undoing his belt. I ever so gently reach into his boxers and take a hold of his bulging cock. I position myself directly over his dick, because a good angle on the cock is essential to delivering maximum pleasure. If you have an awkward angle, you may scrape your teeth on his ever so sensitive dick, which will not feel good. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of getting his cock nice and wet before you start. Ask your man. Nobody wants you jerking on a dry dick. Not sexy. Doesn't feel good.
Oh, I didn't forget. Motherfuckers! Hug these big old nuts. Yes, Lord.